السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبا أيمن هاوي أبا
الحمد لله
عامر هاوي
الحمد لله
هاي شو
الحمد لله الحمد لله.
طيب how we going جي؟
نعم شيخ نعم.
طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Today بإذن الله we'll be continuing with another chapter regarding how we handle the dealings between ourselves and our brothers. Yesterday we were on the chapter Babu Islahi Zatil Bayn, the chapter about reconciling the connections, the ties between ourselves and the rest of us. We explained that that kalima, that word Al Bayn, it could be referring to good dealings. It may also be referring to al-mukhasamatu wal-muhajara. It could be referring to mutual quarrel and mutual distancing from one another. So if you say islah al-dhatil bayn and you take the first meaning, it means you maintain a relationship that's already good. If you take the second meaning, it means you rectify a relationship that is bad. So if you say islah al-dhatil bayn, the two things are involved: maintaining good relationship and rectifying a bad one. The last hadith we read in that chapter is the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma regarding that statement of Allah in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, فَاشْتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. He said, رضي الله عنهما, هذا تحريج من الله على المؤمنين أن يتقوا الله وأن يصلحوا ذات بينهم. عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما said, هذا تحريج من الله على المؤمنين. This is a statement of restriction and insistence. It insists to say as if we don't have a choice. The only choice Muslims have is أَنْ يَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. They should fear Allah in all their dealings. وَأَنْ يُصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِهِمْ. And the only thing that comes after that is look for means of reconciling your relationship with your brothers. If your relationship is sound, improve it. If the relationship is bad, rectify it. This is the meaning of islah al-dhatil bayn. And in the first hadith we read, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that ala unabbi'ukum bidarajatin afdala min as-salati was-siyami was-sadaqa. Should I not tell you about a rank better than the rank of observing Nawafil, observing Sawm Dawud, and giving a lot of charity? Should I not tell you something better than that? Qalu bala. He said, tell us, O Messenger of Allah. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, salahu dhatil bayn, a rank before Allah that surpasses the rank of observing a lot of Nawafil, observing a lot of supplicatory fasting, and giving a lot of sadaqah is salahu dhatil bayn, rectifying and maintaining ties with ourselves, between a man and his wife, between a man and his friend, between a man and his neighbor, the father and the child and his brothers and sisters, and so on. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that فَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ, destroying and causing disaffection amongst the people. He al-Haliqa, that is the destruction. And in the report of Al-Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la aqulu tahliqu ash-sha'r. I'm not saying that it will remove the hairs, it will shave off the hairs from the head. Walakin tahliqu ad-din. What I rather refer to is that it will destroy the deen of the people. Yesterday we gave an example of two brothers who have loved themselves for the sake of Allah, and then they set up a learning class, a halqa as we call it. They begin to teach in the class. One shaitan amongst human beings or amongst the jinns come to cause a disaffection between the two of them. And then at the end of the day, that teaching gathering has to stop. You will see that it will affect the religion of all those people who benefit from those cities. The same way we find today on the internet, on social media, young people destroy the relationship between learned people by conveying bad information and negative news from one party to the other, whether such news may be true or such news may be bad. The intention is to cause disaffection amongst the people. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fasadu dhatil bayn hiya al-haliqa, destroying the ties amongst the people. It is destruction in itself. And it is a destruction of the religion of the people. Today, inshallah, we'll be looking at another chapter that has to do with our dealings with the rest of the people we relate with, whether our brothers or our sisters or our wives or our children or our neighbors or our teachers and the rest of the people that we deal with. In this chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Babun إِذَا كَذَبْتَ لِرَجُلٍ وَهُوَ لَكَ مُصَدِّقٌ إِذَا كَذَبْتَ لِرَجُلٍ وَهُوَ لَكَ مُصَدِّقٌ. The chapter about when you would tell a lie to a man, وَهُوَ لَكَ مُصَدِّقٌ, and why you tell him that lie, he was believing you, he was accepting what you are saying. Why should a Muslim do this to his brother? Why should a brother do this to his neighbor? Why should a learned person do this to another learned person? إِذَا كَذَبْتَ لِرَجُلٍ وَهُوَ لَكَ مُصَدِّقٌ. Why you tell a lie to a person, and then that person, at the time you tell him those lies, he was believing you and accepting what you say. What is it that has been said about this in the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam? That occurs under Hadith 393 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He said in it, rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا حَيْوَى ibn شُرَيْفِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا بَكِيَّةِ عن سبارة بن مالك الحضرمي عن عبد الرحمن بن جبير بن نفير أن أباه حدثه أن سفيان بن قصيد الحضرمي حدثه أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول كبرت خيانة أن تحدث أخاك حديثا هو لك مصدق وأنت له كاذب. Messenger said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, كبرت خيانة أن تحدث أخاك تحدثه حديثا هو لك مصدق وأنت له وأنت له كاذب. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Haywa ibn Shuraykh. Haywa ibn Shuraykh رحمه الله was very learned from the scholars of Islam. His kunya was Abu al-Abbas, and he was Abu al-Abbas al-Himsi رحمه الله, from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. When Al-Imam al-Dhahabi spoke about Haywa ibn Shuraykh, he called him, he said, Al-Imam al-Mutkin al-Muhaddif. Says Al-Imam al-Mutkin. He was an Imam. He was a person to be followed upon the path of knowledge. He was Mutkin, one who affects the aspects of the knowledge that he has acquired. وَكَانَ مِنْ أَوْعِيَةِ الْإِذْ, and he was from amongst those who bore knowledge. He was from amongst the dearest of knowledge, rahimahullah. And others amongst the scholars said, when we hear Haywa ibn Shuraykh mentioned as Al-Humsi, they say that كَانَ إِمَامَ مَسْجِدِ الْحُمْسِ. He was the Imam in the masjid at Al-Humus. Humus is in present-day Syria. At that time, it was a big city of Islam, Humus. And from among those who led the people, in fact, Haywa ibn Shuraykh used to teach the Quran in that masjid. These are the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He is reporting from another very learned person in Islam, Baqiyya, Al-Imam Baqiyya ibn al-Walid. He is also Humsi. Baqiyya ibn al-Walid is also Humsi. Baqiyya ibn al-Walid, the scholars are not differed about his being a well-grounded, trustworthy scholar of Islam. The issue with his reports is when he says an, because he does what they refer to as at Tadlis. So he is Baqiyyatu ibn al-Walid. And these are part of the problems with this isnad. This hadith, the ulama, al-Imam al-Albani mentioned, rahimahullah, that it is weak. Others too mentioned that it is weak. And our Shaykh Samir ibn Amir al-Zuhairi also affirmed that the hadith is weak. Why? One of the reasons for its weakness is that Baqiyyatu ibn al-Walid al-Himsi is also reporting this hadith with an expression the scholars refer to as an. He said an in that report. Why do they say so? When Baqiyyatu ibn al-Walid says an in a report he conveys from any of his teachers, it is likely that in between himself and the teacher, he has a weak reporter. But when he says haddathana or akhbarana or sami'tu, his reports are reliable without a difference. So one of the problems, one of the effects in this isnad is this an'ana by al-Imam Baqiyyatu ibn al-Walid. This goes to explain how very diligent the scholars of hadith have ever been. If you find a person who himself is a trustworthy, learned reporter of hadith, or he has a way that when he reports that hadith, the hadith becomes weak, they do not, because of that fault, throw away the rest of his goodness. They recognize his goodness for him. They also recognize his faults for him. This is against what we do in our own times. If we recognize a fault with a person, we throw away the child and the bathwater. This is also from the aspects of Abdul. We behave as if he has not any kind of a goodness with him. As for Baqiyyatu ibn al-Walid, he was a well-grounded scholar, but he has a way of reporting a hadith. All the scholars almost agree that when he reports a hadith like that, that hadith is weak. So they accept his report when he is not reporting like that, in that manner. And when he reports in that manner, they reject his narrations. This is from the aspects of putting everything in their places. Here, Baqiyat ibn al-Walid al-Hamsi is reporting from his Shaykh, Subarah ibn Malik al-Hadrami. Subarah ibn Malik al-Hadrami, the ulama refer to him and say that he is majhul. Subarah ibn Malik, he is majhul. This is the second defect this hadith has. The first defect that he has is the an'ana of Baqiyah ibn Walid. And the second defect that it has is the unknowing of the condition of Subarah ibn Malik al-Hadran. This also goes to explain how diligent the scholars of hadith are in. If they know your name, they know your father's name, they know where you have come from, they know everything about you, but they don't know how trustworthy and how accurate you are in conveying narrations from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. They will not accept your reports. They must know and be sure that you are a reliable person. And ruling a person to be reliable is a long, long, very difficult job. It's a lot of a difficult job. So if that job, if it is not ascertained that this person is reliable, they never accept his reports. The best of what has been said about Subarah ibn Malik is that yuktabu hadithu. His narrations can be documented. Al-Imam al-Dabaqutni say yuktabu bihi. His narrations will be documented. We'll be looking for somebody else who has reported the hadith like him. If we find, and that person is reliable, then we accept his own reports. If we don't find, then we leave aside the reports and say, we don't know this man. We don't know how reliable he is in his religion. We don't know how reliable he is in conveying narrations. But as for Subarah ibn Malik, we know him. We know his religion. But we are not sure whether he can accurately convey the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. This question sign makes us leave aside his hadith until we can find a report that affirms that he's a reliable reporter of hadith. You can see how diligent this science is. But the nearest doubts regarding the ability of an individual to convey reports accurately, reports are set aside. May Allah reward the scholars of hadith, because this has helped to preserve the Sunnah of Messenger alayhi salam. This also makes us understand that when we hear them say hadithun sahih, this hadith is sahih, they have done a lot of work to be able to confirm that this statement has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is part of our religion. Subarah ibn Malik, who is ruled to be majhul, he is reporting from Abdurrahman ibn Jubayr ibn Nufayr. Abdurrahman ibn Jubayr ibn Nufayr is the son of an eminent tabi'i, Jubayr ibn Nufayr. Unfortunately, this report is from his father, Jubayr ibn Nufayr. Jubayr ibn Nufayr was amongst the Mukhadramun. We know the Mukhadramun. The Mukhadramun are those who were alive during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They also accepted Islam during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, but they never saw or met the Prophet face to face. These people are not from Ashabu Rasulillah alayhi salatu wasallam. They are not ruled from the companions. They are called a special name, Mukhadramun. They are called Mukhadramun. But in the end of it, they are also from amongst the Tabi'un. No matter how old a Mukhadram is, if he reports a hadith from Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. The hadith will be muqatir, mursal, to be a report that has a broken shape. Look at how diligent this ummah is in verifying reports. If a person lived in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he lived in that time, and he had accepted Islam at that time and perfected his Islam. And yet he says, Qala Rasulullah alayhi salam. He does not have the same ruling as that person who met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all these people and the conditions are known. Those who met the Prophet are known. Those who did not meet the Prophet are known. They are well documented in the history books of Islam. You can see the favor of Allah upon this school. Jubair ibn Nufayr is Mukhadra, Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Khadra. And he is reporting from Sufyan ibn Usayd. Jubair ibn Nufayr is reporting from Sufyan ibn Usayd. Sufyan ibn Usayd, he is a Sahabi of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He is the one who said that the Prophet said, Annahu is the one, Sufyan ibn Usayd, is the one who said, Annahu sami'a al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, is the one who said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, كبرت خيانة يعني عظمت خيانة. It is so big a treachery. It is so big a betrayal. It's a big betrayal. أن تحدث أخاك حديثا هو لك مصدق. أن تحدث أخاك حديثا هو لك مصدق. It's a big betrayal. And to haditha akhaka haditha, that you should give a report, you narrate something, you say something to your brother. Huwa laka musaddiqun wa anta lahu kadhibun. Huwa laka musaddiqun. As you tell him, as you narrate the stories to him, as you convey the information to him, huwa laka musaddiqun. He was accepting what you were saying. He was believing what you were saying. He was affirming in his mind what you are saying, that you are telling him the truth, when the actual fact is that وَأَنْتَ لَهُ كَذِبٌ, you were actually telling him lies. It is reported that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, كَبُرَتْ خِيَانَةً. This is so big a betrayal. Big betrayal. The ulama say the betrayal will come from two angles. The first angle is that لِأَنَّهُ إِتَّمَنَكَ فِيمَا تُحَدِّثُهُ بِهِ, because he had trusted you, فِيمَا تُحَدِّثُهُ بِهِ, in what you are narrating, how I trusted you. He gave you a trust. He trusted what you tell him. فَإِذَا When you begin to tell him lies, and he had given you a trust that you will not lie to him, when you now begin to lie, you have betrayed his amana. You have betrayed his trust. The second betrayal is amanatul iman, that you have betrayed. Khunta amanat al-iman. You have betrayed the trust of iman. What is the trust of iman? Fima awjaba min nasihat al-ikhwan. Iman has compelled you. Iman has instructed you, made it compulsory for you to ever say what is right to your brother. So your betrayal comes from two angles. He trusted you. The second one is the first one is he trusted you, you betrayed him. The second one is iman itself compels you to tell your brother the truth. You betrayed iman there too. You betrayed your brother. You betrayed the iman that connects the two of you. So that's why it is reported that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, kaburat khiyanatan. It is so, so big a betrayer. Antu haditha akhaka hadithan huwa laka musaddikun wa anta lahu kadhibun. That hey, you narrate to him an incident, you tell him something about something. He was believing you. Wa anta lahu kadhibun. While at that time, you were only lying to him. I would remember that these betrayals are from the aspects of the ways of the people of Nifaq. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding Munafiqun, he said, إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When he is given a trust, he would betray the trust. So your brother trusted you that you would not lie to him, but you betrayed the trust. So that's why it is reported that كَبُرَتْ خِيَانَةً. It is big a betrayal that you do that kind of a thing. You narrate something to your brother, he would be believing you. وَأَنْتَ لَهُ كَذِبٌ. When you actually were telling him what is just mere falsehood. This hadith has a weak chain. And we will notice that the weakness are slight, even though it renders the hadith weak. We know that the message in the hadith is correct. And from the ways we know it, it's from the explanation of the hadith itself. The khiyana, betrayal, comes from two angles. The first one is that as an individual, he had trusted you as a person. The second one is that iman itself compels you to tell your brother the truth. So you betray it from these two angles. And we know that these kinds of betrayals are the symbols of the people of Nifaq. And Nifaq is big. So that betrayal is big. So even though this hadith is weak, its meaning is correct, confirmed from other teachings and other texts, from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. It is reported that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, taburat khiyanatan an tuhaddisa akhaka hadithan huwa laka musaddikun wa anta lahu kadhibun. And because we are discussing dhatul bayn, the ties amongst people, if you have a friend who loves you for the sake of Allah and all of that, and then you begin to tell him a lie, and he is believing you, while it is a lie, it is a betrayal, we understand that this will cause disaffection between the two of you. And this is why I like to warn people who sell things online these days, whether women or men, especially the women. Fear Allah and never tell people except the truth. Don't lie about the product that you sell. A lot of people have complained about their experiences. People lie in trade. It is part of this narration. Because that time you are telling that brother, or you are telling that man you are selling to, or you are telling your sister you are selling to, oh, this product, he can do this, he can do this, he can do this. He will be believing you. He had trusted you. Wa anta laha kaziba. Meanwhile, you are just telling her lies. So it will be azulat khiyanata. It will be big betrayal. Somebody sees you as a person of Islam. You are wearing jilbab. You are wearing niqab. You have a beard. You invite them to a business. Contribute money to a business. They believe you. They accept you. But you knew from your mind at the time you are telling them to bring their money, you knew that you were telling them lies. This is big betrayal. A woman mentioned recently that she'd worked for about 12 years. Everything she had gathered, everything she had saved, she invested it in a business. And in less than 6-7 months, they went back to tell her that the business had failed. She didn't know how to cry. Many of the people have been so deceived, and most times it will be from people that they have trusted. Don't betray the trust of your brother, because when you begin to betray trusts that have been placed on your hands, you are just showing the symbols of being a munafiq, the symbols of nifaq. I beg Allah to protect all of us from nifaq. Don't tell a lie. Don't lie to people. Don't justify a lie. The circumstances where Islam has allowed us to say something other than the truth, we know them, there are three. When you reconcile between two feuding parties, you are allowed to say something that is not true. And we explain there, the ulama say, al-kadhibu ja'izun wa tawriyatu afdal. It is allowed for you to say something that is not true. Wa tawriyatu afdal. But say something that is not, that can be conceived to mean something when you don't actually mean it, is better than saying something that is not true. The same thing, hadithu ar-rajuli ahlahu. A man talking to his wife. We know that we can say something that's not expressly true in this circumstance. So these are the circumstances then in the cases of war. We have given these exceptions and we have explained it. If not, it is not appropriate for a Muslim to tell a lie at all. But from the worst lies you can tell is that you narrate an incident to your brothers. They were believing you and accepting what you say. وَأَنْتَ لَهُمْ كَذِبٌ. I think that this hadith is clear. We can move to the next hadith. Hadith 394. That occurs under another chapter heading. بَابٌ لَا تَعِدْ أَخَاكَ شَيْئًا فَتُخْلِفُ. لَا تَعِدْ أَخَاكَ شَيْئًا فَتُخْلِفَهُ. Don't promise your brother something, assuring him, affirming it to him. فَتُخْلِفَهُ. And then you come back. And then you betray him. You do not fulfill the promise to your brother. This one also happens a lot. Ulama say the worst of it is, you knew when you were promising him that you will not give it to him. And yet you were promising him. You will see that it stems from this last discussion. When you were promising and affirming, huwa laka musaddiqun, he will be affirming and accepting that you can lie to him. Wa anta kunta lahu kadiban. You were at that time, you were telling him lies. But he was accepting that you are, he has promised. The Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said, if you make that promise, and you are really genuine in your promise, say inshallah. Make your brother understand that well. It is still within, if Allah makes it possible. But if it is a promise you really want to fulfill, and you make him believe, don't worry, it is there, and you have the abilities and you don't fulfill it, this is something that is bad. It is also from the symbols of nifaq. When the munafiq promises, he will fail the promise. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned this under hadith 394. He said, rahimahullah, حدثنا عبد الله بن سعيد قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن محمد المحاربي عن ليث عن عبد الملك عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تمار أخاك لا تمار أخاك ولا تمازحه ولا تعده موعدا فتخلفه. This hadith occurs as hadith 394 in our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari Abu Abdullah. He said, حدثنا عبد الله بن سعيد. He reports this hadith from his Sheikh Abdullah ibn Sa'id, who said, حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن محمد المحاربي عبد الرحمن ابن محمد البخاري, the Sheikh of Imam al-Bukhari. His kunya is Abu Muhammad, and he is reporting from a well-known reporter of hadith, Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym is well-known, rahimahullah, the well-known scholar of hadith, but is a weak reporter of hadith. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. Almost all the scholars are agreed that his reports are weak, and he has reported a lot of hadith. He was a boxer, but daiful hadith. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. Because of my brothers who get busy with the science of hadith, Abu Sulaym, his name is Ayman. Layth ibn Ayman is his real name. Layth ibn Ayman. Many of our brothers, we know him as Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. But this Abu Sulaym, the father of Layth, his name is what? His name is Ayman. So he is Layth ibn Ayman. Rahimahullah al-Kufi. He was a well-known scholar of hadith. His kunya was Abu Bakr. So he is Abu Bakr, Layth ibn Ayman al-Kufi, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Abdul Malik. He is Abdul Malik ibn Abi Bashir. Abdul Malik, the Sheikh of Layth, in this isnad, he is Abdul Malik ibn Abi Bashir. But talking about Layth and saying that he's a weak reporter of hadith, despite his being well known and popular amongst the scholars of hadith, that makes us understand that we're already saying that this hadith, the isnad, is weak. Fortunately, alayhi madarul asanid, this hadith, every person who has reported this hadith, because also al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reports this hadith, but all those asanid end up with Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. So the hadith is weak in its isnad. So his own Sheikh Abdul Malik is reporting from Ikrimah, that is al-Imam Ikrimah Abu Abdullah al-Barbaris, one of the biggest scholars amongst the Tabi'un, and one of the nearest students to Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ikrimah al-Barbaris, rahimahullah, is reporting from his Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, La tujadil, la tumari akhak, la tumamira. Don't become argumentative with your brothers. There are some brothers, their job is argument. Go to social media, you understand me better. Even in a matter, the scholars would almost say there is ijma. You find a young person wanting to argue it. We're in a generation of argument now. In the name of my take, my view, my opinion, my. Have we forgotten that there are issues in Islam that the scholars are agreed upon that it is prohibited to argue about? Prohibited. When you set up an argument about it, you are committing a sin. Yet in our own times, our own younger brothers want to argue about everything. This report says, La tumari akhak. Don't be a person who goes into heated argument with your brother. All the time, argument. He never lets anything go. And from the evils of argument is that it is usually born out of a decision to overwhelm your listeners. You want to be the one that controls the sitting. So what people say would not matter. Their impressions will not matter. All that matters are those your own views, those your own takes. Go and see those people they refer to as social media influencers. That is their job. They want to compel others to take their own opinion. A Muslim should not be like this, because it will destroy the ties between yourself and your brother. So this narration says that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, La tumari akhak, don't go on making jidal and khusuma with your brother. Wala tumazihhu. Don't go on making a jest of him. This is another thing that is common. In fact, recently a brother pasted something on his status, and it mentions these two things. They were arguing about a matter of fiqh, and it's a matter that accepts difference. It's a matter because there are issues in the opposite of what I had said. There are issues the ulama had agreed upon. When you argue about them, you are committing a sin. There are issues that they have opened the views. Some of the scholars have that view. If you are a Talib and able to discern, to say it appears that this one is stronger, you will learn to get to that stage new. And one of the things you will know whether you have reached that stage or not, your teacher, who is also a learned person, will tell you that you have reached that stage. Many of our younger brothers now want to assume this position without having verified, oh yes, you can do that now. So arguments go on. This brother was in a discussion with another brother, and what followed it was the second brother was abusing him. Olentelafa. He was abusing someone. The other one said, this matter is a matter about which people can view differently. The other one abused him and said, Olentelafa. That is, an ignorant person following another ignorant person. La tumari akhak wa la tumazihhu. Don't go into heated arguments unnecessarily. These are unnecessary arguments with your brothers. Wala tumazihhu. Don't become a person who make a jest of your brothers. And then it says, wala ta'idhu maw'idan fatukhlifahu. Don't give him a promise. La ta'idhu maw'idan. Don't give him a promise. فَتُخْلِفَهُ. And then you fail to fulfill the promise. If you promise your brother, inshallah, I will do this to you. Try as much as possible to do it. Unless you become incapable. As long as you are capable, if you promise your brother, try to fulfill. And it is a point of reference in this hadith. Because Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought it under the same chapter, Babun la ta'id akhaka shay'an fatukhlifahu. So it's a point of reference in hadith. If you promise your brother, fulfill his promise. If you promise a brother, I would, as small as I will see you tomorrow, try to see him. And always place inshallah there. We usually refer to the verse in Al-Kahf. ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا. Don't ever look at this affirmation. Don't ever be a person who, when you are saying, I will do that tomorrow, illa inshallah, except I say inshallah. So add inshallah to it. But inshallah of two forms. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah explains it in his sharh of Sahih Muslim al-Minhaj. He said, when you say inshallah, sometimes it will be the takhyif, because you are saying it is possible, it may not also be possible. Sometimes it could be the tawkid. You are affirming that it will be like the kind of inshallah that Ismail told to his father Ibrahim. When he said, Satajiduni inshallah min as-sabil. He was rather affirming to his father that I will never waver. Allah said, you should slaughter me. I'm ready. Alayhima salatu wassalam. So inshallah could be affirmative. When you use it in affirmative, fulfill that promise. When you use it in possibility, try to fulfill the promise. If you become known with promising and failing, it shows that there is, you have some sort of nifaq with you. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he mentioned the attributes of munafiqun, said, إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ when he promises, he fails. Munafiq, when he promises, you fail the promise. Don't be a person who is known when he starts promising. And this is where politicians must be careful. If you promise the people, don't tell them lies. When you tell them lies, the angels Allah has placed with you are documenting them. It will be brought before you on the day of Qiyamah that you have given promises and you have failed. Fortunately, Allah knew your mind when you are giving the promise. So your mind, what you had in it, and what your mouth were saying, the two of them will be brought out to be conflicting on the day of Qiyamah. So your hypocrisy will be shown into your face and in the face of those you were deceiving. Don't say to people what you will not do to them. Fear Allah and fear the day that you shall meet him. The Prophet said, as it is reported in this hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala ta'idhu mu'idan fatukhlifahu. Don't promise your brother something and then you fail.
We said that this hadith is from the hadith of Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, who is accepted to be a weak reporter of hadith. But the meaning of this hadith is acceptable, is correct, as we have confirmed from other texts, from the Quran and from the Sunnah. I think it will suffice for us to stop here to take questions today, Abu Amr. Abu Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana, ahsan Allah ilayk.
Amin, iyaakum.
Naam. The first question here reads, someone's asking if the name is Sabbaro or Bokbaro in Hadith 93.
Hadith 93, he is Dubar. He is Dubar. I have the print of Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi. He is Dubar. I also have the print with the Tahqiq of Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, the well-known scholar of Hadith, here with me. And his verification is also Dubar. He also said Dubar, and he's a well-known scholar of Hadith. If you go to the other books of Hadith, like Tahdhib al-Kamal, where the names of the reporters have been mentioned, I think you can confirm. In these two copies that I have here with me now, the copy of Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, and the copy of the print of Daru Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi, it is Dubar ibn Malik and not Bubar. Allahu a'lam.
Next one. In the case of acceptability of a man telling a lie to his wife, can a woman also tell a lie to her husband?
Yes, the Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wasalam. Hadithul Mar'ati Zawjaha. Hadithul Mar'ati Zawjaha. It's allowed. We read that specifically here when we discuss the things, conditions where people may say things that are not true. It was mentioned clearly. Hadithul Mar'ati Zawjaha. That is Hadith 385. You can go back to it. A woman can say to her husband, I love you, my husband. You're a good man. Oh, this, that. And the man may not be as good as the wife is saying to him. It's acceptable. He may do something to her, a good thing. She was happy. And then she describes the happiness bigger than she was. Maybe, let me use this example. She wanted a phone. You bought her Infinix. She was expecting iPhone. You know women now, if you say Infinix, they say iPhone or Samsung S something. They start giving you, because they know all the phones. women now have they know. So if you buy her Infinix, she begins to thank him. In fact, I even like that Infinix more than iPhone. It is not true that Infinix is better than iPhone. It is not also true that someone will like Infinix more than iPhone or Samsung S23. But she's saying that to her husband, just to have him pleased and settled, showing her appreciation for the Infinix itself. While she's not saying something we can say is true, such statements are allowed in Islam. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amr.
I'm Sheikhana, Jazakallahu Khair.
Amen.
This one reads, who is the best person to give the hands of a sister whose father is dead in marriage? She has a mother, some paternal uncles, and some step-elder brothers from different legal father.
The uncles should come. The uncles should come. If she has brothers, the brothers can come before the uncles. But these things are usually family matters. So don't settle it just upon the ruling. Sit down with the uncles. Sit down with the relatives and take a family decision. But I think I must say this. Maternal uncles are not involved. Maternal uncles, give away. Please, give away. Don't come and cause problems. Maternal uncles, when a girl wants to get married, maternal uncles, please give away. Those who will hand over the girl to a husband who have that right are paternal uncles. Please, let's note this point. Yes, they will come, they will contribute, they will celebrate, but they should know their limits for the sake of Allah. Maternal uncles, know your limits. You cannot contest with these days you even have maternal uncles contesting with the father of a child. It's really unfortunate. It's going beyond limits. It's extremism. Those people should be told to their faces, it's extremism. Maternal relatives contesting a daughter with the father. It's extremism. It is bad. May Allah protect us. As for the paternal relatives, the brothers, the uncles, paternal, they should sit down and appoint a person to hand over that girl in marriage. I hope it is clear, inshallah.
Naam, Shaykhana, Jazakumullahu Khair.
Ameen, wa antum fa Jazakumullahu Khair. Can we have it to do here, Abu Amir?
Naam,
Shaykhana. Please, let's talk here. We'll continue in the next class, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen, wa iyyakum.